Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy Wayne Hiz, one half of His and Hers podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday and Sunday for the latest up-to-date content and episodes. As per usual, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Anchor. Tap in with us. Peace.
I want to rock with you.
You want to rock with who?
You want to rock with you?
Oh.
You want to rock with who?
What?
We want to rock with you.
Want to rock with me? I want to rock with you. I want to rock with me. I want to rock with you.
Okay.
It is your boy Wayne Hiz.
And Vanessa Hurst.
And how y'all doing out there in podcast land? Huh? We back at it, man. Another episode of His and Hers podcast. Y'all know what that means. Anytime you hear Janet on the scene, it's time to get mean.
Oh, God. Okay. We want to, as always, thank you guys for the love and support. It's not a break. We sound like a broken record. Times are tough.
Yeah, it's not
we
a break.
We record when we can, yes. Yeah,
life happens, but, you
we're
know.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
And you guys are here, too.
You guys are here. Clearly, you're here because that's actually reflected in the numbers. Another couple hundred listens, hit another milestone.
Yay!
Even that's not even the recording at the clip that we would like. So, yes. Appreciate it, man. You know, shows that we have some substance, kind of validates that we sort of know what we're doing, kind of sort of there. You know what I mean?
To all of our loyal listeners,
yeah.
We do appreciate you guys because at times it's crazy when we see like really old episodes
mm-hmm.
get a few numbers up. Or get a few listens, we're like, what?
Yeah.
So that means people are going back, and we're sorry. We know that the first few episodes are a little rough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you don't know
show
what you're
doing. Growth.
Yeah, I think that's, I embrace that. I think that's great. I think that's cool when people can see where you started into kind of like where you are today. I love that in every facet of life, like, you know?
So that's one thing that I think we've shared with each other, but not like on air.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do love about podcasting. Yeah. Not only do we come here and we express ourselves and we share with you guys what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what others are thinking, what others want us to share.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole purpose of us being on this platform is to hopefully help, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the whole purpose. Absolutely. What we're hoping.
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
Help and uplift. Yep.
But at times, it's crazy to go back, and you just mentioned, like, to actually see the growth, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
One thing that I do honestly enjoy, and I've learned to love with the podcast, at first, it's crazy when we started. I remember even, hearing myself again. It was kind of like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did not like my voice. I didn't like tones. I didn't like certain things I said. Like, you know, like you correct the things you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do enjoy going back and I literally sit and think of that moment at that time. So that's the beauty of podcasting as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's as they say in professional sports, the eye in the sky don't lie. In this case, it's the audio doesn't mm-hmm. lie. Because you can go back and listen to yourself and hear the cadence, hear how you sound, hear how you're projecting if you need to speak up, as mm-hmm. they say. Allow your larynx to just
right.
flow, you know what I mean? Yeah, get your posture up, upright, steady position, and then, you know, fire away into the mic or phone. But it is. It's a beautiful thing, you know what I mean? And anything. So when you go, you look back, see where you started, just like, wow, like, man.
We've came a long you know way, what
I
guys. Mean?
The inception of this thing, grassroots. I remember when we had no listens to one listen, to 20 listens, to 15 listens, to, you know?
8.4 listens.
Yeah, so 8.4K. And that's like, you know, like, that's a relatively small number to some people, but for like, for two people who work full time and don't really have the necessary you know, time, energy, effort to really dedicate to our platform as we should, you know, like we're fully aware of that, because our kid comes first and sometimes life happens. That's just the reality of it. But
mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing. You know, you get a couple hundred listens from people, like, and you know that it's not, I mean, yes, you have your regular listenership, but people go back to your back catalog and listen to your old stuff too. So it's like, you know, you get some new ones in there as well.
And I think when we look at the bigger picture, it's like, I've told you before, we don't like to overthink it or say, like,
mm-hmm.
we have to be really careful and cautious with what we say, and we are aware of that. And mm-hmm. we do we are aware that some people may be offended about what we say and how we say it, but we can't be responsible for that. This is our platform, and that's the whole purpose of our podcast.
And the truth of the matter is that, you know, like in life, we're not going to be it for everybody.
No.
And that's just, unfortunately, that's just the way life works. You know what I mean? Fortunately for us, we have the mentality and the wherewithal to know that. We're not attempting to, like, purposely offend anybody by the things that we say and the things that we utter. Our remarks come from within, and, you know, there's definitely no malicious intent ever with anything that we convey on our platform. So,
but I know you always mention we can't control what people understand or how things are taken.
I wish more people understood that.
You know, it took me a minute.
I wish more people understood that, because you can say whatever. And I tell...
And the sweetest, nicest, kindest
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. You know, and I tell my girl this all the time. This is like something... This is like a Wayneism. Like, I live by this.
Oh, you know, Wayneism. Preach.
It is. It's a true thing. Like, you can... Somebody can say something to you, or you can say something to somebody, and you cannot control the outcome of how they react to the things that you say. Or what came out of your mouth, and the context in which they convey, you know, they heard it in. Because you know, like we said it before, like it's like a big game of telephone. You could start at one end of the telephone, you know what I mean? When you whisper in somebody's ear, you played that game before in middle school, high school.
It's completely something different.
You start at one end, you can line up 20 people or 15 or 10 people. You tell something in somebody's ear, and then you get to the other end of the telephone, and the last person's ear, and it's like, that's not what I said.
You know what I've learned in life? Telephone could be three people.
Yeah.
Because it's completely how someone takes it at times. For sure. Like you just said, you could say the exact same thing to one person, the exact same thing to the other, and they might switch it.
Now imagine how teachers feel.
You know what?
Educators.
Praise their soul, though. Like, you know what I mean? Honestly.
Like, an educator could be standing up in front of a classroom conveying 15, a lesson
kids.
Or a syllabus. And you're teaching 15 of those same 20 kids, and in her or his mind, they feel like they put together the most grade A lesson plan. And
who knows?
You know? It's up to those students, those 15, 20 students, to determine whose comprehension level is going to retain this and be able to apply it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So I doubt people don't like us, but once again, that was pretty much just to thank you guys, because we know... Big some facts. Of you listen to us on your drive. Mm-hmm. Some of us, some of you guys clean with us. Some of you wash day.
Take us to the gym.
So, yes, we appreciate it. All and get it. Your little workout in, because it's tough out here.
It's real. And then, you know, catch up. Like, a lot of people tell me, hey, you know, like, I just started listening, man. Like, you guys are dope. And da, da, da. Yeah, catch up when you catch up. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
You know, like.
We appreciate the love
for
always.
For sure. Like, if you just tuning in. This is Hi. Your first time ever listening to us.
Welcome.
Strap in. You're in for a wild ride. But without further ado, I want to go ahead and jump right into this episode, man. So we were talking off mic, as me and my girl like to often do. We don't really have, like, pre-production and stuff. What we do discuss is, like, the topics that we are going to convey into an episode. That's what we do. So for this particular episode...
We do that.
Yes, we do that.
And most of the time also, may I add, is something we're passionate about or that we think the audience can relate to.
Yeah. Very... I mean, at times we like to incorporate hot takes and hot topics.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That are hot off the presses. You know, because you guys love and have an appetite for salacious freaking BS right now, but you
know. A toxic world, man. It's entertaining.
Yeah. Hey, y'all heard that
and
new,
draining.
Right? Y'all heard that new Cardi and Lotto record? I'm sure you have.
Wayne has. See what I mean?
It's crazy. Ratchets, right? I know. All right. Focus. We're back.
Please, Wayne.
So, this episode, I kind of wanted to do a somewhat of a deep dive into something that I feel like a lot of people deal with. Mm-hmm. It is an internal struggle for some, and I feel like most people are still searching for answers. And it's this whole thing and this idea of unpacking trauma. Mm. I know I've had a lot of trauma, my fair share of trauma in my life, you know. I'm going to hit a milestone birthday this year, and I can say that throughout my I know, right?
The big 4-0.
That's right. You know what I mean?
Are you excited, though?
40's the new 20 is what they say. I ain't
excited. What's your true feeling? Because, I mean, this is Gemini season, but it's not about me right now yet. how, and really quickly.
Sure.
Like, just because I'm sure we're going to record a full episode on just birthday.
Of course.
But are you excited to turn, like, a huge milestone? Because I feel like I will not be. But this is, like I said, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not one of those people who's, like, wants to be forever young. That's definitely not me.
I want to be forever young, guys.
I embrace getting older. I embrace the things that comes with it. I embrace the knowledge.
It's so hard.
I enjoy talking to older people. Like, my favorite thing to do is to have a conversation with an older person who has time in, who's kind of led a full life, a marriage, they have kids. You can pick their brain because they've had so many life experiences that, you know, it's valuable information that I can now take and apply it within my own life, you know?
But do you not miss, like, your back not hurting?
Absolutely.
You know, or your hip or your knee?
Yeah, I miss, like, going to the gym, just playing basketball, running up and down with the young kids, being able to show them that.
Look at you, sounding like an old man already, the young kids.
Yeah, I mean, I got a younger cousin who I practically raised, and when I go play ball with him sometimes, I'm just like, you look like me out there. You remind me of me, you know? And I'm just like, it's cool from that, and he keeps me young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I got younger people that I work with at work, and I play basketball with, they keep me young. So, you know, all my glory days, if you will, while I have them, I have those moments where I look back and I'm just like, man, all the stuff that I was doing in my 20s and mid-20s, late 20s, early to mid-30s, yeah, you know, you have those moments where you go and you look back and you think of all the fun times and all the memories you had.
Of course.
I'm always about what's next.
Mm.
I don't like to really backtrack and focus on the things that I once did, that I previously did. I like to focus on what I'm doing and where I'm going.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what I am looking forward to. Answer your question directly, I am looking forward to my birthday. It's a milestone. 40 is a milestone birthday. And, you know, if you come from an area in which I come from and where I derive from, 40 is not promised. So, you know, Lord
willing.
Well,
nowadays, 40 is not promised anywhere. Like, health is crazy.
Yeah.
And let's not get dark in this episode yet. You know, but it's just the time that we're living in with the killing, with the sicknesses, with everything else. It's not promised anywhere.
Which, coming off of that, you bring me into an interesting segue. Coming off killings, coming off impoverished neighborhoods, things that people shouldn't see, places they shouldn't be, just so many different horrific occurrences that seemingly flood our news and flood our timelines and flood our algorithms on our mobile devices, seemingly on the daily, I feel like that all leads to one thing, trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And these are traumatic experiences that for some people can't recover or they struggle to cope with dealing with it on the daily. Some people are still dealing with internal battles, mental health issues, or just stuff that you shouldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, as a kid, like, I think about some of the things that I see, some of the things that I've done, and how it's impacted me along my journey into becoming, you know, a man. And I'm just like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not to start it off all morbid or all bad or mean, but your boy seen some things, man. Growing up, you know, those of you who have been under a rock, I always shout out the city that I'm from. I'm from Long Beach. I'm from the East Side. It was pretty rough growing up. You see a lot of things. There's drug dealings. There's gangs. There's mm-hmm. violence. There's shootings, killings. You see all of that in the inner city, right? So, but this particular scenario that I'm going to reference, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It does have something to do with violence and fighting. So I can recall my aunt, she's one of my aunts on my father's side, my dad's sister, one of my dad's sisters, my dad is deceased. She used to cut my hair a lot. So I was actually cool with this aunt,
mm-hmm.
All the way, I would say, up until maybe I was 14 or 15 years old. She was like cutting my hair. My dad tried to cut my hair one time and, she was looking at him like, what are you doing? You messed up his hair. You know, you're supposed to cut his hair with the grain. You're cutting his hair against the grain. And she had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And he's my cousin, and we were really, really cool. I won't say his name, but people, they'll probably know and draw a parallel as to who I'm talking about. But, yeah, so anyway, like, one day I was coming to get a haircut at her house, because she used to cut my hair at her house, although she did work in a shop. So I would go over there, like clockwork, every other 2 weeks, every other Saturday, boom, I'm getting my hair cut, you know? Nothing. So I get over there, and this particular day, she's not there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, okay. So I asked my cousin, you know, her son, who's there. She's like, oh, my mom said she gonna cut your hair, but just, you know, you can wait for her here. I'm like, bet. So I'm just sitting there on the couch. I'm watching TV, waiting for my aunt to get there to cut my hair. He has a chick come over. And I'm like, okay. All right. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is like my first iteration of, you know what I'm saying? Like a guy calling a shorty through to come through, you know what I'm saying? Why they mom is not there. So, okay. At first, I'm thinking, cool, like, whatever.
And how old are you?
I'm like 15, like 14, 15.
So you're already kind of semi, like, a teen, but you still don't know what the hell.
Yeah, I'm like, still, like, young. You know, I'm like, he's a little older than me. He's like, I want to say he's probably like 20, 21. You know what I mean? So I'm getting my first, like, school lesson asked into, like, yo, yeah, like, hey, call a shorty over when my mom is going real quick so I can, you know, take something down. So I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Like, you know, so the girl knock on the door. I answer the door. You know what I'm saying? He was in the shower. So, you know, the girl.
Oh, he was tripping.
Right. She's like, oh, is such and such here? And I'm like, oh, well, he's in the shower. He's like, hey, let her. Like, he must have heard. Like, because he's like, hey, let her in. I was like, all right, cool. Sit down. He get out the shower. Whoop-de-whoop. Take her to the room. They do what they do. They handle business.
And you're chilling there.
Yeah. So I'm chilling, right? But that's not even the crazy part of the story. So they do what they do. We chilling. We eating and shit. And then he's like, hey, my mom said she's going to come pick you up. So, like, so go way downstairs. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I go, like, you know, way downstairs. And all of a sudden, I want to say maybe, like, 2 minutes go by and I'm waiting for my aunt to come pick me up to go get my hair cut. And I just hear a bunch of screaming. So I'm like, yo, what the hell? That sounds like that's coming from my auntie's apartment. Mm-hmm. So I go back and my cousin's like whooping the girl ass that he just like smashed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, to me, this was like, you know, I'm like, wait, I'm like, wait, what's happening? Like, I was just cool. You just smashed. We was just all in there watching TV and da da da. And yeah, he's like beating her up, like physically, like harming this girl. And I'm just like, yo, bro. I'm like, yo, what you like? You know, I'm trying to, like, he's a big muscle bound buff dude.
Yeah, and you're a kid.
And I'm a kid. You know what I'm saying? But it's my cousin, and I'm like, yo, man, like, yo, this is not cool. What you doing? Like, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's like, shut up, shut up. Like, he's like, now he's directing his little anger and frustration towards me. Mm. So I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like this. Like, first.
But they were cool while you were there, right?
Correct. So I don't know what transpired.
Oh, you.
I'm downstairs, mind you.
Yeah, you never, like.
Yeah, like, I never, you know, I never, like, found out what the reason was or what the root cause was for him to, like, hit her, but. Yeah, when I went back upstairs and I heard the screaming, like, he was, like, pretty much hitting her, like, socking her like she was a dude.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like, that stuck with me. Like, growing up, I'm just like, yo, I never want to treat. I mean, my mom instilled that in me, like, at a very young age. My mom was actually a victim of abuse by my father. He did some very, very vile, heinous, vulgar things to her. Yeah, and I'll get into later, but I want to give you an opportunity. To give me feedback regarding what you just heard, because I know that's the first time you heard that story.
Yeah, we've never discussed this.
Yeah, so I'll let you go. Let me just finish the point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that happened. The police is called. I'm sure the neighbors heard the commotion somebody, you know what I mean? And the police called, and they came. And, like, around the time that the police got there, my aunt is pulling up, and she's just looking at me like, Junior, what happened? What happened? You know?
Yeah,
like,
Junior is Wayne.
Facts.
And Wayne is Junior.
Correct. I'm named after my pops. So everybody on my dad's side of the family calls me Junior, even my mom. But it's crazy. Like she's like, what happened? I'm just like, and he's like saying, like, he's threatening me. Like, you better not say nothing. You better not say nothing. And I'm just like, yo, this is wild. Like, because I seen everything.
So he lied to everyone.
Yeah, basically.
And the girl went along with that.
And yeah. Oh, nothing happened. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, yo, this is wild.
While you saw him.
Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah.
Like, not only did you invite this girl over, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you like, I don't know. It was just a weird ass situation. Like, right? Like, random as fuck. And I'm just like, dude, how do you go from having sex with a dude to getting beat up to now lying for the guy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's got to do something to your psyche.
And now we hear it all the time.
Right.
Or we see it all the time. Even these celebrity relations, like relationships, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's so toxic. It's so, like, draining, the back and forth, the fighting, the internet bashing, the physical bashing. Some of these people will literally destroy windows, destroy homes, physical abuse. And in a few months, it's like, oh, no, we were kidding. Like, we were happy the whole time.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Like, what do you think? And that's kind of why I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Like, why do you think people hide trauma or run from trauma as opposed to trying to find a solution to not only cope or put a band-aid on an open wound, but actually deal with the mental aspect of the things that they've seen or have been unfortunate to have to endure?
I do feel at times, and I know that we've discussed this, when it's a generation thing, right? Like, if you grew up, for example, the girl, and I don't want to judge her and I don't know her, but I'm saying it, this could have been the scenario where at home she saw physical abuse or even verbal. I think verbal is horrible. Like, if you live in a home where there's always yelling, there's always misunderstandings, there's always abuse, verbal abuse is very, like, to me, it's more damaging or as damaging as physical abuse.
Yeah.
And I because agree. Mentally, you're fucked. Like, emotionally, you're fucked. Like, your feelings are fucked. Like, it's not, you know, like, it's ongoing of this, right? And so I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of these girls, we both grew up in the hood, different hoods. I'm from South Central. We grew up in Long Beach. Regardless if whatever your hood is, because there's a lot of hoods and a lot of people grew up in these poverties or not even poverty, because, like I said, I didn't think I was poor my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But you grow up in an environment where that's okay, or you see it so often that you're kind of immune to it.
Right. You feel like it's the norm.
Yes. And keep in mind, I never had physical abuse near me, but I did hear of it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, my mom was never in a physical abusive relationship, you know, but I did have aunts that came from that. Yeah. I did have cousins that dealt with that.
Right.
And not only that, like, I did have uncles that were the abusers.
Yeah.
So that's when you think, like, and we didn't grow up in a home like that. So you do think, like, damn, you know, like, you don't see that. You didn't grow up with that.
Right.
So why are you this way?
Yeah, it's true. And man, like.
But then when I look back, now as an adult, it's like, yeah, I loved my grandparents. And my mom always tells me, and it's so crazy when I see it now or when I think about it, she tells me, I feel like you guys, the grandparents, met an amazing version of my parents.
Yeah.
You know, my grandpa used to like to drink. She said he was very abusive, like verbally.
Right.
And we don't get into details, and she's like, I don't want to change your mentality of him or your vision of him because he's passed also.
Yeah.
And to us, we had amazing grandparents. So she's like, I'm not going to tell you what happened. I'm not going to tell you what would he go, like, you know, or put my mom through.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't nicest man sometimes, and he wasn't the sweetest. He was tough.
Right.
So with that being said, I'm just like, oh. So when I see the pattern and how things turned out, it's like, no, my grandparents were like that. And she's like, well, you didn't see them like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they weren't like that.
Right.
At a point, at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
See, even that, even in what you just said, even, like, getting down to the root cause or the crux of why a person is the way that they are, that has to stem from something.
Yeah.
Like he was that way, why? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, not because
and
of...
I think when it comes to your cousin, but I'm trying to speak on the point of the girl.
Yeah.
What makes it okay for her to deal with it? Like, I will not.
Right.
I will not tolerate anyone being abusive towards me.
Yeah.
Not even physically. And I know you're always like, oh my God, babe. To you, even like, and you, we don't say it because I think we've said it early on in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that I fucking hate for anyone to tell me to shut up.
Yeah.
Or like, even playing, if you're like, shut the fuck up, I'm like, oh no. we don't say that. You know, like, I don't know what it is. I'm just like, I don't want to skip, right? That I feel like that's a tiny bit of disrespect to other people. It may not be.
Yeah.
But then when I'm mad, I'm going to tell you to shut the fuck up, too. And that's not cool. Like, we're passing that line of respect, you know?
Right.
Keep your respect, I'll keep my respect, and let's not pass that line.
Yeah.
Because I think that happens often with relationships also.
I also wonder, right, for example, like, and like, you know, I'm pretty transparent. I don't mind kind of like putting my life experiences out there because I feel like it can help somebody. So I'm going to be real, real uber transparent in this episode. So if something is triggering you, if it's something is like damn, like, just know that these are like real stories, so I don't mind sharing. The reason why I said that, a little quick disclaimer, is because my cousin, who my mom has had custody of her two kids since they were babies, right, she was molested, like she was raped. So, and I think about if, like, I'm putting myself in her shoes where I'm trying to empathize with her and understand, like, how somebody cannot, like, want to care for their children, you know what I mean, or have their children taken away from them. Like, I'm wondering what their mental state is. And when I look back on my cousin, like, my cousin's had, like, a really, really rough,
abandonment, rough life. Everything. Like,
you know what I mean?
It has a lot to do with it.
And so, like, it's crazy, right? Because my mom has had custody. She still has custody of her kids since they were babies, right? Yeah. And I think about that, like, you know, she left her kids in a hotel, you know?
That is insane.
So, like, I'm wondering, like, what causes, like every, what are the contributing factors for her to, like, literally just allow herself to just say, I can't do this, you know, in such a very drastic way.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to unpack, like, what that looks like for her or what her mental state looked like. And kind of like the pressure she felt, she must have felt, or the anxiety of, like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy because, like, we grew up in the same house. So, like, my mom actually had custody of her at one point.
Mm.
And, you know, when she first came to live with us, it was a refreshing thing because it's like I had a bigger cousin. Like, she's 2 years older than me. And so, like, when she came, we used to do everything together. We would walk to the corner store. We'd go to the park. And
would she talk about it, though? Or, like, would she talk about her experience, I guess you can say? Or initially,
because, I mean, it's crazy because I'm sure she had to relive it all in court, you know? My mom had to go to court to gain custody of her. She actually lived with her grandfather in the home that it happened in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
horrible.
You know what I mean? And my older brother, you know, he lived in the same home as well. So it's kind of crazy, like, that when my mom, like, got custody of them, it was already kind of like their mental was already sort of teetering.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? My mom got her, let me see, I was in sixth grade when I almost said her name.
I'm like, don't.
I was in sixth grade when my cousin came to live with us in Long Beach on Freeman Avenue. And she was in seventh grade, if I'm not mistaken. Seventh or eighth grade.
Now, if you think back, that is so young.
Yeah.
For you to be dealing with life.
Yeah.
Because that's literally dealing with life.
Yeah, she had her kids way later.
And I think it sucks because it's adult trauma, right?
Yeah.
This is the shit that adults are putting kids through. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And it's like ongoing, and they have to deal with life.
Yeah.
And you have this fucked up ass mindset, that's what it is.
Yeah.
As a kid, and then shit keeps happening to you in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not fit to have kids. You're not fit to go into this world, this environment. You get me? Like, it's just like, what?
And it's crazy because, like, her, you know, the son, he's like older now. Like, you know, he's in high school, and he was really attached to me when I lived with my mom.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he liked having a male figure around. Like, it's just your mom.
And it's crazy when I go, like, when I go to my mom's and I talk with him and stuff like that, like, I feel like we're having those conversations. Like, oh, like, you know, like, I want to learn how to, like, dress, or I want to learn how to impress a girl, or show me how to play video games, or can you help me with my homework? You know what I mean? Like, a big brother, like a mentor role. And it's just, it's crazy. I see a lot of myself in kids, not from the standpoint of like solely my traumatic experiences, but I know what it's like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because my pops wasn't there like that, mm-hmm. you know? And who knows? Like, I'm sure he was dealing with his own internal battles.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, that's why I try to shoot people grace. I try to exude grace now that I'm older. Like, now that I'm older and I have kids, like, I do understand a lot of what my parents were trying to instill. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you kind of have to really, really give them some grace. Even if you don't want to, you have to exude some sort of empathy, because when you're under the gun and pressure's mounting and bills are mounting and you have kids and there's so many other things that are occupying and demanding your time, and you have all these traumatic experiences to pile on top of that, with combine that with life, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
like,
a lot.
You can really shoot your people some bail. Mm-hmm. Not to say that they are exempt from the decisions and the choices that they make. You know what I'm saying? But like,
see and understand kind of sort of why.
Yeah, know, you can like look back from a place now and be like, okay, like I understood where you were in your life at that time, and the things that you were faced with, and what it looked like for you at that time. Because now you're in that situation. Like, now you're in a situation of being an adult, being a parent, and, you know, you pay bills, and you have pressures, and you have unexpected burdens that surface out of nowhere, and you're just like, how am I going to get through this shit?
Yeah, in reference to trauma, I feel like life, unfortunately, is different for everyone, right? Yeah. Like, we know that. But some people have it very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And some people don't. Yeah. Like, we've said it a million of times. You've said it because you experienced it yourself, where you had a completely different childhood from your best friend.
Yeah. Word is bond.
You know, like, you've mentioned it plenty of times in the podcast, how you had to see everything through him. And lucky enough, he wasn't a selfish only child where he would be like, this is mine, you go home. Like, yeah. There is kids like that. You know,
I think that's true. And I think that had a lot to do with, because his mom and his grandmother, like, grew up in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, his grandmother is a staple in the city of Long Beach. She's been feeding mm-hmm. the homeless for over 50 years. Like, so I'm sure, like, just having that example of feeding the homeless yeah. for 5 decades... You know what I'm saying? Trickle down to his mom, who then instilled that in him, being an only child. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just, like, I think that's incredible. You know what I mean? To have that kind of wherewithal, even though you might still live in the same conditions or be subjecting, you know, yourself to a quality or standard of living that you otherwise wouldn't sign up for. But, you know, because these are your circumstances, yeah. This is what it is. And for people to still find joy within that, I think that's very, very key. Like, that's not a very easy thing to do. People, like, people think it's easy to just grow up in that environment, and then you just come out and you just turn to good.
Make money, and then you get an education, and you're a different person.
Do you know how many different times, temptations I was faced with?
Yeah.
To lead a life of crime, to turn to gangs, to be around the wrong crowd, to make money. Like, what? I've been presented with that 1,000 times over. Most people in the hood will tell you that they've been presented with they call it plays today. That's what the kids call it today. Uh-huh. And I'm about to hit this corner, make a play. Like, nah, man. Like, I've been faced with that. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Am I proud of everything that I've done in my life? Absolutely the fuck no. I am not. You know what I'm saying? And you could do with that information and interpret that information how you will, as you see fit. But just bringing it all the way back to trauma, like, yeah, man, like, shit was not easy. But, you know, that's something that's also, I'm the type of individual, though, I allow things to fuel me. And because I saw my mom struggle, because I seen her as a single mom raising 6 kids, I always told myself, like, it did fuel me. It did make me yearn and want more.
You know, growing up, it's funny that you mentioned that in reference to your mom being a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my main traumas, and I believe that's one of the reasons why I didn't want kids.
Mm.
As a Hispanic, you know, and not, like I said, I don't want to keep saying, like, in a poor community, because it's not like we've always been okay and we've always
had food. But you grew up in an area that lacked resources.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get you.
And with the family that had this as a role model, and like I said, shout out to all the amazing women in my family, but it was a whole lot of single women raising multiple kids. It
takes a village. That's what they say, right?
Yeah. And they did a fucking great job. Mm-hmm. And they would hustle and they would come through whatever way they had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, in whatever way, like you said, there's a lot of ways that you're like, whoa, now as an adult, you're like, what the fuck was going on?
Yes.
You know, but you did what you had to take care of your kids.
Yeah.
So really young, two of my cousins, well, my older cousins ended up pregnant young as well.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my close cousins ended up pregnant as well. And we were 15. So to me, it was like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing at 15. Like, I don't even know what I want to do. Like, and back then you're thinking, because everyone's like, this is the way they set life to you, right?
Right, right.
Like, you have to go to college and you have to graduate. So what are you going to go to school for?
Yeah.
And what are you going to put your career to? And what is it that you're going to focus on? And what are you going to do for the rest of your life?
You're like, shit, I'm just trying to, like, breathe.
And, I'm trying
to figure it out.
Then you realize that life is not even like that. Word. You know, like, Word. If you're a hustler, you're going to get your money however the hell you can get it.
That's real.
The hell you can get it.
Yeah.
With whatever education you have.
That's real.
At that point.
Yeah.
And you're going to make it work.
That's a fact.
And I was making more money than a lot of educated people that I knew.
I mean, that's still.
That didn't matter.
That's range true today. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
But it was traumatic to see my cousins struggle. And, you know, like I said, I admire them. It's a trauma that I feel like it's very eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was so afraid of that. Like, I didn't want to be a single mom. And I didn't want to raise a kid on my own. And they fucking struggled.
You know what's crazy? The irony in what you just said is, I'm sure our mothers didn't want that.
Yeah. No one does. I remember having this conversation with one of my best friends also.
Yeah.
She was one of the last ones to have a kid also.
Mm-hmm.
And when she ended up pregnant, I was crying, and she was crying.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, why is this happening? Why are you having a kid? You have a good life. Like, everything's good. And she's just like, it happened.
Yeah.
At that point, it's literally the only answer that she could give me. Like, it happened. And unfortunately, when things didn't work out for her, I remember us having like this heart-to-heart conversation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told her, like, this is a fucked up situation, and I could be honest about this because we are very honest, and this is exactly what I told her. Like, look at where the fuck, like, you put yourself.
Yeah.
And to end up being a single mom. And at that point, it was life, like, mm-hmm. literally, where she told me, she's like, do you think anyone ever plans on being a fucking single mom? That's mm-hmm. not what you're shooting for, and that's not what you're thinking.
Yeah.
At the moment, of course, this guy's amazing. At the moment, of course, it seems like forever.
Yeah.
Of course, I love you, love of my life, you know, forever together. Let's work through everything.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it is.
Right.
So that's traumatizing. That's
absolutely
the trauma.
It's definitely is. And one thing I want to highlight too, right, we're in this topic of trauma and unpacking trauma and what that looks like for various people, what it means to you, you know, how you deal with it, how you cope with it. One thing I would urge people to attempt to do, if you feel like you are dealing with trauma currently, or as you continue to cope with it daily, when you feel like you just can't continue on, and you feel like there's so much pressure on you and you need a pressure release, I would urge you to use trauma as a rally cry to constantly infuse life and breathe life within yourself to figure it out. And what I mean is this, right? So I know I had trauma, right? Because I used to, when I was... And this is going to sound crazy, but I mean, it's just real. It's just facts. When I used to be broke, I used to like tell myself, why am I always broke, right? And I used to like literally have this conversation with myself. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing?
The best
like,
therapist is yourself
too. You know what I'm saying? I used to be like, yo, bro, like, this is crazy. Like, this is wild.
You are so broke.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I remember like just boom, like single days, broke, whatever, right? Dating around, had a couple girlfriends. You know what I'm saying? And then,
no, you didn't.
I didn't even know who he was then, girl.
Whatever.
I know who you is now. Clink, clank. With the cuffs on. But nah, okay, so I mean, hey, you know, it is what it is. Now, or back then, I was making $8.10 an hour, right? And again, if you've been under a rock, I do have a daughter. And she'll be 10 this year. But at the time, she was about to be born. And I'm literally thinking in my head, I'm like, this cannot be life. But I used to really be in my head, like, blaming other people for why I'm not getting ahead and why I'm not progressing and why I'm not thriving, right? Mm-hmm. Using my trauma as the scapegoat.
As a victim, yeah.
You know what I mean? Playing victim, using that as the lone reason why I'm not succeeding. Oh, my dad didn't do this. Or I wasn't afforded the other opportunities that other people were. And when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, nah, this
is
not only hustle, but that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people who had a vested interest in my well-being. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a dude from the inner city. I went to private school. Mm-hmm. I graduated from a private high school. A lot of people, like, wish that they can get, you know, a private education. And mm-hmm. it was paid for. I didn't. Yeah. My parents didn't pay for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because, man, is school expensive.
What?
No, you know?
You know what I mean? I played sports in high school. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, we're traveling out of state. Yeah. We're taking flights. You know what I mean? Hotels. There's gear. There's accessories. I have, you know, there's different things that I have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is all this costs. And once I got out of my own way and I had that aha moment with myself where the light bulb went over my head, I said, nah. And that's honestly when I started to take steps in the right direction.
Aha moments will be the ones.
I'm telling you. You know what I mean? I said, I can't continue to allow the things that didn't happen for me in my life to be the lone reason that's going to define my significance. Mm-hmm. I determine that. I determine my significance in life. Me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That falls and that begins and lies with me. And once I condition myself to unlearn a lot of the dumb shit and a lot of the old past previous trauma, that's when I begin to thrive as an individual.
We really have to unlearn and unpack a lot of shit.
You know what I mean?
And we literally have to learn how to do all of that. Like, yeah. we didn't grow up in an environment. Like, for example, now, it's okay for the whole mental awareness and, oh, if you're going through a depression or if you're trying to figure yourself out. We did not grow up in that era.
Right.
What are you doing while you're trying to figure out what the fuck you're doing? How is it that you're bringing in money and surviving for yourself while you're trying to figure out who the hell you are?
Man, it's crazy. And that happens a lot, A, when you travel, mm-hmm. and B, when you get around people who are more successful than you. Mm-hmm. So, like, you ever been around people, like, that are more successful than you? The shit that they talk about is, like, wow moments for you. But to them, it's like regular life.
Yeah. They're not worried about the person next to them, or they're not gossiping. They're speaking of investments, and they're speaking of businesses, and it's different conversations that you hear. It's not like, man, did you see this girl's story? Who gives a fuck? They're not even on,
like,
social media.
Their conversation is even different. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I started to have conversations with those types of individuals, and I started to get invited in those rooms, and I'm brushing shoulders, and I'm, you know, listening to them. I'm just like, yo, like, you know, like, this is crazy. Damn. Like, why am I, I'm still fixated on shit that has
nothing to do with that.
What? Like, why am I worried about this? Like, I'm still worried, like, I shouldn't be focused on stuff that happened to me 5, 7, 10 years ago that was negative. Mm-hmm. You know, I've illustrated that I can outgrow this, and there's things on me on the other side. I just got to go get it. It's up to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And whatever that looks like, you know? And I say that, I would urge our audience and our listeners, I would challenge them rather. I would challenge you to get out of your own way. I would challenge
it's
you.
It's tough.
It is. It is tough.
Growth is a bitch, it let is. Me tell you.
But I challenge people to sample life more. Mm-hmm. You might just like how it tastes. Mm-hmm. You know? Sample life.
Yeah.
You might just like how it tastes. Because clearly you have taste buds for the things that you like now, right? Everybody likes, our last episode, go check it out, Materialistic. Realistic or Materialistic, check it out. Episode 97, word, you heard? You know what I'm saying?
Episode 97?
Realistic or material? That's episode 97.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
See, reality.
Yeah. So, you know, like, man, don't allow trauma. And it is hard. I don't want to make it sit up here and, like, make it seem like I'm sitting from a position of privilege because I still deal with trauma to this day. You know? I still have my moments.
You just choose not to stay there.
Yeah. You can't allow that to define your significance. That shouldn't be the thing that defines
and
you.
And that's a very difficult also.
It is. You know, especially people telling it's somebody tough. That who deals with it still. Like, you know?
It's tough to get out of your ways and out of your head.
People fight their battles every day, man. You know? I want to be a beacon of light. I want to be a ray of hope for people. Like, use my story as a springboard to get you out of whatever discomfort that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it is hope on the other side.
Yeah.
It is. There's, man.
Like, you just got to work hard.
Absolutely.
I mean that like in every single way.
Absolutely.
Because it's more than just, you guys think it's about money. Like, it's definitely not.
But that's like.
It's so much more.
That's anything in life.
Yeah.
Anything in life worth having requires what? Work.
Work.
It requires effort. Work.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
sacrifices.
It's crazy, right? People be like, man, like, people be like at work, right? They be saying, man, Wayne, you're so thorough, you're so this, you're so that. And I'm just like, yeah. Like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, why wouldn't I be that? Like, bro, I'm trying to, like, you know, I'm trying to get to the next plateau. Like, I want to run my own department. I don't like working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Or for people, let me say that. I don't like working with some people. You know, some of these motherfuckers be getting on my nerves. But I don't like working for people. My end goal, like I told my CEO, I told the CEO of my company, I told him to his face, I said, my end goal is to be able to run my department and take a percentage of all of my reps, have them working, boom, me manage that, me coach them, you know, give me 7 to 10 reps, boom. That's my department, is to run my own subdivision within the company under the company's umbrella. He said, man, that's a great idea. And he's like, would you be willing to sit in there in the meeting and pitch that to the board, the board of manager? I was like, of course. Why wouldn't I? I said, that's my end goal. I was like, I come in here every day with a purpose.
Yeah.
The fuck? I don't want to, you know.
Your goal is set.
It's I don't want to work for people. Yeah. The rest of my, that's not my end goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't understand how people can allow that to be their end goal. But again,
you know, a lot of
we're
people,
different.
It's comfort, and a lot of people are, it's laziness. And a lot of people, we've mentioned this so much, are very minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever, I'm good with just this. If this is all I have to do,
mm-hmm.
day in and day out, and it's exactly this every day for 5 days, 31 days or 30 days or 29 mm-hmm. days out of the month, 12 months, I can do it. What the fuck? Like, everyone is robotic like that. I guess
you're right. I can't either. I guess what I'm saying is don't allow trauma to dictate that.
Yeah.
Don't allow trauma to be the reason why you become minimalistic.
Yeah.
Don't allow trauma to feel like you aren't enough, like you don't deserve.
Don't allow trauma to hold you back.
You know what I mean?
Because it's definitely, like, you have to push yourself for better.
Yeah.
But you're pushing for a reason, you know, to get out of that circle, that little hole that you're in.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the fight.
I look back at the year 2012 when they said, remember they said the world was supposed to end in 2012? The world's going to end. Oh, my God. There was a movie.
It wasn't 2010?
It was 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's the
millennium.
Yeah.
The millennium's over.
Yeah. Remember, like, it was like several
there
times
were
they had
shirts,
that.
It
was like 9999. Yeah. It was like Y2K. Remember all that stupid shit?
And look, we almost died in 2020.
Anthrax. So much shit, right?
We almost literally died in 2020. But
yeah, it's crazy. I'm sure The Simpsons called that too, right?
Yeah.
They called most of the shit.
Shout out to them. Yeah. They know everything.
Nah, but it's crazy because I look back at the year 2012 and I'm just like, that was a pivotal time for me. Like, I literally was working at Food for Less. I was making $8.10 an hour, and I was working less than 40-hour work weeks.
That's crazy.
And I'm literally saying to myself,
if you think about it, that's not even like working.
It's crazy.
Right?
So really, let me humor you some more. So actually, I started off making $7.50 an hour, but then I got promoted. Yeah, I got promoted 3 times within a year.
Oh, okay.
So I came in.
Well, then, you know, you were hardworking since then.
I know. I came in as a utility clerk. So those are people you see in the grocery store that are like,
clean up on
But people who say, oh, I don't want this. Like, they get to the check stand and they don't want something. Uh-huh. That person comes and whatever they don't want, he takes it, puts it back.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, and then, yeah, the people who clean up spills and people out, you see outside on carts.
The job that no one wants.
That's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Then I graduated from that to I became a cashier. Then they put me in produce because, he's a fast learner. Then they put me in the back because I was big and strong. And they put me on the grocery loads because I know how to do a pallet jack, too. And then they tied me, clean out the baler. That's when you fucking put all the cardboard and you make like a cardboard cube. Oh. You put a wire over it, you tie it, you put it on the pallet jack, and then boom, because they recycle it.
You're speaking another language to me right now.
I'm telling you, your boy was back there doing hard work. Then they put me in the meat department. I got traumatized.
You're a meat specialist?
What? Shrimp, raw fish, all type of shit.
You hate all that.
Ground beef. Man, your boy was back there. Hey, Wayne back there, he frying fish. Hook it up. Like, you know? I'm telling you. But I said all that to say, man, like, I look back on my life and I'm just like, I'm in a position today. And I thank God for everything that I've been through. And, you know, I didn't allow my trauma to get the better of me, but there's still a lot of friends and family members that I know deal with this on a daily and on a given. So, you know, I just want to be, like I said, man, a beacon of hope for them, because I know that people vicariously like to live through people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying? And
you don't know the struggles, though. You were so quick to judge, even through social media. Damn, you see that couple? They're fucking in love. Oh, you see that girl? She's always just a boss bitch. Like, man, she has money. Yeah. At times, these people are living paycheck to paycheck, broke as hell, unhappy, you know? Like, oh, let's just pretend like we're happy. Let's take this picture. And then they can't stand each other. Like, we're going based on whatever we want to feel like it's their life. It is not.
It's not. And then it'd be crazy because, like, those people would trade, like, all their materialistic shit, money, big house, car, all these cars for your happiness.
Yeah.
But the person don't even know that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it because, you're blinded by the shiny. Like my best friend always say, man, we respect this. People respect the shiny shit too much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And it's crazy because like that dude, I envy him like in terms of his tunnel vision. Like he just had tunnel vision. Like you cannot knock him off his square. Graduated from middle school, graduated from high school, got his master's of business administration, his MBA, and like he just always been what's next. I envy people like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. Yeah, like,
just go for it.
You know? Like, nothing stops him. It's weird. It's crazy.
I just had this conversation with my cousin as well, I believe even yesterday, where we were like texting back and forth, and we were saying how it feels good now to be able to do things without hesitating, right? Mm. And it's not bragging. I promise you it's not bragging because we work fucking hard.
Yeah.
So the little things that, you know, you would think you're check to check. Something simple like Uber Eats, that shit's expensive.
Facts.
Something like filling up your tank without hesitating.
Mm-hmm.
Something like purchasing without even checking your balance because you don't know if it's going to decline. Like, I often think of struggling parents and I think of ours, and I think that's trauma too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I never knew that my mom was the single mom living paycheck to paycheck. Who knows cutting what and arranging what for we can have the things that we had.
Yeah.
And it is such an amazing feeling for me that I don't have to put Renzo through that.
It's a fact.
If Renzo wants whatever, like I said, it's not about money. It's not about bragging. I'm not rich, no. But I work hard to have what I have.
Yeah.
And I work hard not to have the limits that I grew up having to see, you know? Or even, like I said, maybe not directly with me, but people around me, I saw a lot of.
But progressively, that's how life should be. Like, we had to go through that so that, like, our son, so that Renzo can have whatever the fuck he wants. Mm-hmm. You know? Just like our parents had to go through what they went through mm-hmm. to patch together and piece together the life that they put for us. Mm-hmm. You know? We took their experiences. Now we're trying to instill that within our son.
Yeah.
You know? That's how it should be. Progressively, it should get better. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we want to leave and lead the lifestyle for our son that we, you know, it should be better. He should have a better life than us. Period. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, but, you know, when he make it to the league, he can give us that life back.
Yes. Take me out of this working struggle, you know
what
misery.
I'm saying? You know what I mean? Don't forget. You know what I'm saying?
Don't you dare.
Don't forget. We held you down. You know what I'm saying? Boy. No, but it's crazy, babe. I just think that, you know, people who deal with trauma and people who have these different avenues of self-help, there's so many different things, man, that you can do to combat and cope and, you know, figure out your and find your way. You know what I mean? It's just unreal sometimes. But I know we kind of wanted to wrap. I just wanted to share one last thing, one last story, right? So we talked about this whole idea of single moms. Like, you referenced your mom, I referenced my mom, my cousin, you know, everything that they've done dealt with, right? So, you know, I did reference my father in the beginning of the episode. You know, he's deceased. It's crazy because I feel like I held a lot of trauma based upon some of the stories my mom told me, like when they were together, mm-hmm. things he didn't do, things I felt like he should have done, and then my own individual relationship with him and promises he made my daughter, he made, you know, that never came to fruition. So it's like, it had got to a point where I'm just like, man, it started with my mom, then it came to me, then it went to my daughter. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's a cycle with you. You know what I'm saying? And once I started to see that, that's where it was just like, I wasn't on speaking terms with him.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, I think, like, when he passed, you know, I didn't really get a chance, an opportunity to really mend any fences with him, nor did I get a chance to, like, get that off of my chest in terms of just, like, what I was feeling at the time. He passed. He transitioned. And, you know, I think I still, like, held a lot of trauma from that based upon some of the stuff that my mom told me that he did to her, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the things are pretty graphic, so, you know, brace yourselves because I'm going to share a couple of those things with you guys. So, you know, I can recall one time, you know, my mom, like, crying, right? And this is when I lived where I was like,
and you remember this yourself, or was it based on what she had told you?
I remember this.
My memory is
false. I remember this myself, but okay. this is also predicated off something she told me.
Okay.
So I remember her telling me, I remember her crying. I'm like, I remember asking her, Mom, why are you crying? You know, I was like maybe 16, 17. And she's just like, you and your brothers, you guys don't understand, like, the stuff your dad put me through. And I'm just like, what do you mean? And, like, we would always often, whenever we felt like we couldn't get our way, that was always our thing. Like, man. And our dad would let us do it. Or we want our dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And we just would be like, what? Like, nah, we want our dad. Like, we don't understand. You know, when you're a teenager and you don't get your way, it's like the sky's falling.
Yeah.
So she told me, she said, call your brother in here. Y'all sit down and close the door. So I'm like, okay. So I call my brother, you know what I'm saying? We go in her room and she just begins to tell us, like, everything that he used to do to her, like, physically. And I'm just like, what? And, like, my dad would, like, beat her up, punch her, kick her. He cut her hair off with men's clippers. She had to wear a wig for, like, 2 months, 3 months for all her hair to grow back.
Oh, my God.
He kicked her teeth in. Like, it's a lot of stuff that, you know, he did to her. And my mom always, like, helped him. It's crazy. Like, the job that he actually stayed on and worked at for 30 years, my mom actually took the test for him and passed it because he couldn't pass it. He took it 5 times and failed it every time.
Before, people would do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, at the DMV, test for someone else?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
So, it's crazy. So, they went in. He wrote my mom's name on his test that he filled out, and my mom wrote his name on the test that she filled out.
Oh, shit.
And at the end, they swapped.
They swapped, and yeah. That was like,
that's how he passed it, yeah. And it's crazy, like, you know, and she told me all the stuff that she had done for him and the stuff that he was doing to her, and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, my poor mom, man, you know, like, me and my brother, we start crying in that moment because it was just like, whoa. And so that started to, like, really undress a lot of the question marks we had. Like, oh, why is he not around? Or, well, he said he was going to come to our game. He didn't show up. Or mm-hmm. he's going to drop off a lounge. Didn't do that. Or said he's going to get a school closed. Didn't do that.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, he'll show up, like, one or two times consecutively, and then it's like, 3, 4, 5 times
he did don't come the minimum.
Through. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we grew up with that. And I honestly don't think, like, for the longest time, me and my brother, because it's only one of us that have the same mom and same dad,
mm-hmm.
My brother, L, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy, but, like, I look back at it now that he's deceased, and I'm just like, man, it's crazy. Like, I can't believe, like, some of the stuff that she, like, was subjected to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think about how that is today when I hear about, like, all these domestic disputes
mm-hmm.
and how much women have to endure. And, you know, some women, they don't even want to talk about it for fear of the man coming back mm-hmm. to hurt them more. Or, you know what I'm saying?
And now I feel like it's a huge help or a big escape with social media.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it's like you didn't even have a phone.
Sight unseen.
Who are you going to call?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to tell anyone? Like, yeah. These men were keeping you at home. Like, they're threatening you. You're scared. They're threatening you with what you love at times. Mm-hmm. Like, if you tell anyone, I'm going to fuck you up. And like I said, I'm just going based on movies and scenarios that I've heard.
Yeah.
But it's always, like, threatening you with what you love the most.
Back then,
you
know? For sure.
Now, I'm going to kill your family. Like, some crazy shit that we hear, you know?
Yeah. Back then, that was exactly it, for sure. Like, because if you, like you said, there was no social media. There's camera phones everywhere. Even when you walk outside, everybody got a phone.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me, by the way. Somebody's getting beat up or hurt or shot at.
Everyone's recording.
You pulling? Why is the first thought to pull out your, like, you know, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where we are in society.
You're not helping anyone. You're recording, which is insane.
Like, if I see somebody getting jumped, my first thought is not to, like, record. It's to, like, yo, like, assess the situation and see if somebody need help. Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if somebody die, you know, in the midst of that? Like, it's wild. But I just thank God that, you know, there are different avenues for people to search. There's different things that you can do to help cope with. Like, I mean, man, there's even, like, it's crazy because there's therapy now. You could text.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's therapists that you could actually text if you don't feel comfortable talking to them on the phone. Yeah, yeah. You know? It's so many different avenues that people can go to address any trauma that they need to unpack, or, you know, if they still need help today, they can just cope with it on a daily basis or weekly, or, you know? It's very, like, this is therapeutic for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Always said it,
I feel like we unpack a lot. Even if it's not trauma related, I feel like it's good for us to go, like, you know, I'm an ear that you trust, you're an ear that I trust, and, you know, we have the ear of our audience, and then they trust us.
So deliver. I do want to talk about that as well, because I feel like that's huge. And I know we always say it, like, yes, this is our platform. Yes, we do express ourselves, but it's important to be yourself in real life as well, right?
Yeah.
And how lucky am I, and how lucky are you, I'm going to say as well, to have an amazing partner that you can actually be yourself with.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I believe that from my previous relationship, and I told you straight up, one thing that I cannot stand, and this is a bit of a trauma because I hate not communicating.
Yeah.
Do not close off on me because I will wild out. And that's... And I mean that in the way that, oh, you want to ignore me, then I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
Or, and not even, like, to cheat, not even to do anything crazy. It was like, I'm going to use this to my advantage to go out and get fucked up. Bye.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what was happening.
Mm.
You know? And not only that, you're going to be a dick to me. I'm so evil. Don't push that out. So it's that. And I had told you since the beginning, like, one thing I do not, I never want to go through in a relationship ever is someone being closed down or someone being shutting me off. Mm-hmm. Someone that doesn't want to communicate, someone that cannot listen to me, I'm not going to deal with ever again. Like, that's very traumatic. I think when it comes to relationship, like, we can have a whole podcast. We can come in here and talk to you guys. But we're like this in real life.
Yeah.
And there's no way possible that I would be able to be in any other type of relationship. I've always said it. I'm very fortunate for you to allow me. And I say allow me because you're not like my controller, my master. It's not even like that.
No, yeah.
But you accept me for who I am, even when I'm my fucking craziest. Mm-hmm. And I'm like venting and wilding out in my thoughts because that is something that I deal with myself. Mm-hmm. My mental and my thoughts are very controlling, I could say. And yeah, it does take the best of me, and I will lash out. And yeah, I will explode, and I will not give a fuck.
Before we get out of here, though, you actually raised an interesting point. I kind of want to get your opinion. As it pertains to relationship trauma, we are a relationship podcast. I know we talked about, like, the emotional, mm-hmm, unstable trauma, things that people have to unpack. But stay right where you were on relationship trauma. With regard to relationship trauma, what type of trauma do you feel is derives from that, from a relationship? Like, do you feel that it's people feeling fear of getting cheated on? You feel people are spinning the block while they're still in something? Do you feel it's a trauma of being in a situationship and people not knowing where they stand with a person? Do you think, like, what do you feel are the pretenses of relationship trauma?
I hear so much. I'm a listening ear always, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just today, the craziest shit was, I don't believe in relationships because it's cheat or get cheated on.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
Is this a young person saying
that? No, oh, it's a grown-ass person.
Wow.
And I'm just like...
Yeah, what was the reason they gave behind it? I'm curious, though.
I don't even know how this came about. Like I said, I believe random, mm-hmm, just conversation about someone getting hit on and this person's in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, so did you give the person their number? And it's like, no, like I have a boyfriend. And yeah, that's the answer that was given.
Yeah.
Well, I always feel like either you cheat or you get cheated on. And mm-hmm, I'm just like, oh, shit. Honestly, that I was stuck.
So you trying to like beat them to the punch? Like
pretty much they're saying like if you're not the one that's gonna cheat,
yeah,
you're going to be the one that gets cheated on. That's right, no, the way that yeah, person saw a relationship.
I got it, but it's like, but by this person. So was this person the person in the relationship, or this person was asking that person?
That person was just giving their opinion.
Got it. Okay.
So that reflects the relationship trauma to me when yeah, I hear yeah, stuff hell like that. Yeah,
for sure.
I'm just like, God damn.
Like, that's where you at?
Yeah.
Like, what?
And at times, like I said, I feel like it's understanding. We hate this generation we're living in. People don't date. People don't respect. People literally will just be in situationships and not know what the hell they're doing.
You're right about this generation.
There's shit. I'm sorry.
I'm having some music trauma. All these goddamn remakes. If I hear another fucking remake, man.
No, stop. What do you think about relationship traumas? What do you think it's the biggest target?
You really want to know?
I do. You ask me? Let's hear it.
I feel like the biggest thing is... The biggest attribute, or one of the biggest, probably not the biggest, but... One of the biggest key components of relationship trauma is dishonesty. Because people aren't clear in terms of what they want from said individuals. Like, people will get in something because it feels good. We're warm in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing where something is going.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't want to try to sit again. I'm not sitting here from a position of privilege. I've been the person.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there. Like, when you're dating around, you having fun, you know what I'm saying? You don't got no worries. You know, you have no ties to this person like that.
It's fun, I but get for it. How long?
Exactly. Like, that's why I said you're warm in the moment. Mm-hmm. In the moment.
And then it's cold as hell.
Yeah. In the moment you're warm, it's cool. Oh, shit. Hey, you hungry? Bet. What's up? Let's go get drinks. Cool. Come through. Hey, we at your spot? I'm at your spot? Oh, cool. Bet. We linking up. We going to pregame over here. We going to a little bar. We bar hopping. We going to a club. Oh, shit. We might take a little staycation. We going to a weekend trip. We going to Vegas. You know, you're warm in the moment. But after the fun,
what?
Despairs. And after this person, after you stop replying to your text, or she not calling you back, or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Left you on red, and you see that they posting on social media, and you feel a way about
it. Ooh, that shit triggers me. This, we're not even going to talk about triggers.
Like, no, see, I'm in my bag now. You know what I mean? Like, I can speak because I've been on both sides of it. I've been cheated on in relationships. I've been played. I've been made to look like a fool when I'm feeling a girl and she brought me to the club and it's a whole nother nigga there that she's talking to. Come on, like, I'm speaking from experience.
Yikes.
You know what I'm saying? And I've also been a nigga that's been in the club and I've knocked down 3 or 4 of them and they don't even know it.
Wow.
Or they know it. 3 or 4 of them. So it's like, you know? I'm just saying, like, I've been all into the space. Stop it. Stop.
What?
You got relationship trauma.
I don't. I'm over that.
No, but
I had my fun. It was not trauma at all.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, you know, like, that all, but I do feel like the commonality in all of that is dishonesty. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. If you got to tell, think about all the shit you have to do to keep something going. A lie going, or a fib, or a little white lie. Like, you got to tell this person, hey, I was with you last night. What?
You know the drill. Yeah.
Like, hey, girl, if you didn't, I was at your house sleep, girl, the whole night. Like, what?
You have no idea, man, what girls do to get dates. It's exactly. Crazy.
Right. I'm just saying, like, all right, girl, if I text you twice or if I call you, just let the phone ring one time, pick up, boom, I already know. Come get me. Uh-huh. This date is trash. Yep. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I gotta go home.
That's a fact. Girl, I'm sitting in my location right now, okay? This nigga might be crazy. Like, yep. You know?
All of that.
Trauma. Why? Look, that's trauma in itself. Why you gotta... Why? See?
This because we watch the ID channel. People get killed. It's true. Serious.
That part is true. No, that part for sure.
There's a lot of crazy people. It is. So I know that when I was Walden, and I always bring this up, and we laugh about it all the time. Damn. But... you don't even think of that. You're meeting up this person that's online. You could be wherever the hell you want to be.
That's trauma too. Go ahead.
Yes, you could be whoever. I was about to say Chris Brown, but that's a horrible example. Because then you do get a real Chris Brown.
Yeah.
You know, someone that's gonna beat your ass and cuss you out, hey. And it's crazy.
And you say earlier, yikes.
We forgave him, but whatever. You know, like. It is.
Turn that W upside down. Me. You forgave him. Go ahead, though.
Anyway, you know, like, you never know who you run into. Not only that, you never know what situation you're going to get yourself into.
That's true.
And I have been in a few scary situations where I'm like, I'm about to get choked out.
Because... you had to send your location, though?
Hell yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Because, you know, the person that I was with was pretty upset that I was leading them on. And I was the person that was doing the wrong. Yeah, I like you. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, second, third date. And I'm still just like, yeah.
But why did you feel like you had to be, like, why do you feel like you had to tell, like, be dishonest with dude, though?
So I ended up leaving the date. I said that my roommate was locked out of our house. First of all, I don't have a roommate. I live solo. And second of all, I was just not into the date by then. Gotcha. The first date was cool. The second date was like...
what changed from the first date to the second date?
The first date was super cool.
Uh-huh.
But I think because we had drinks, it was more of a chill vibe.
Got it.
The second date... I hate to bring up this guy because right away you guys know who it is. But the flashy guy. Like, I don't like that shit. I don't care if you have money. I got money too. I don't need your money. Like, I'm not going to be interested in what you bring to the table.
So he led with the money.
And I feel, second date. And I feel like this generation is very about that.
Yeah, I get you.
What type of car do you have? Oh, let me see what watch. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that a name brand? Oh, let me see what shoes. Oh, I don't date guys that wear that brand.
A checklist. You know?
Yes. Yeah. And at the end of the day, these guys have a fucking checklist too, and they want you to put out second, third date, and it's like, nah, I'm actually about to leave. I'm not interested.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Niggas be concerned about the wrong pair of lips. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's why by the third date, I realized this is not what I want. I'm about to head out. And he was like, no, you're not. And I'm like, oh, shit. What you gonna do? And you know, knowing me, I was like, what are you gonna do? Yeah. I'm leaving. And this person literally followed me all the way to my car. And me not knowing, you know, I was like, third date, we're good. Me thinking, we're good to, you know, he was like, I'm gonna cook for you. Cool. First two dates were in a public setting.
Yeah.
So I'm already thinking like, well, the first two dates were cool. Third day, you know, like he's dinner at his place. I'm not thinking, and honestly, I was not thinking, oh, we're going to have to smash because I'm going to his place.
Yeah.
Am I thinking it could happen? It could if the date's right.
Right.
And if I want it, but if it's not what I want, then I'm bouncing.
Right.
And he didn't take rejection well.
Mm.
So send my location. I'm leaving. If you follow me, I will pull over and call a cop.
Maybe he has some trauma.
Right? Clearly. I mean, you know what sucks, I think, for girls?
Rejection trauma.
And I was about to go into that. I think a lot of girls deal with guys being disrespectful once we're not interested.
That shit is corny, though, man. Guys got to clean that shit. Do better. Do better. You gotta be better.
You're gonna do it. Well, yeah. Then why the fuck were you trying to talk to me?
I've been with better bitches than you. I hate when niggas do that. That's so corny.
You're bought me two drinks. That's fine.
It's so corny, bro.
Like, I don't care.
You can't say, like, you can't give her all these compliments and be like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? All enamored with her appearance.
But once again, it's the ego.
Yeah, that's all it is.
You're really, me rejecting and, you know,
I think dudes do be having rejection trauma, though. That's a fact. Like, some dudes don't wear rejection well. Like, you can just tell. You can look at them like, damn, like, what's up, bro? Like, you never been told no? A girl never, like, just told you flat out that she wasn't feeling you or said it in so many words?
I was about to think that. Like, where are you going from here? Like, yeah. This is the best that there is.
Oh,
what
you
going to do after? Nothing. Anyway, we're working on us.
Oh, that was the best I had to offer, huh?
Hey, I've been.
Hey.
Best of luck to you, boo. But moving on, I just thought, I am glad that we're in an era where it's okay to reach out for help. It's okay to seek therapy. It's okay to be open, you know, about your feelings. It's okay for us to discuss this and be okay and laugh about situations that we've been in.
Yeah.
And past trauma, whatever works for you. If a little workout, that's my therapy. Always. I know I don't look like someone that's fit, but that is the way to go for me.
You do work out, though. So.
Always. Yeah. And because I feel like it does help me, my mental,
yeah.
My stress, every single thing that I carry, automatically, if I work it out, I'll be Gucci. I'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
Therapy, you know, little shopping, whatever works for you, do it.
Whatever works, man. Get to that, you know what I'm saying? Exercise that ASAP, make it happen. But look, in all seriousness, man, like, love and happiness is definitely the way to go. We want to get you guys on this journey to unlearn and uncondition yourselves to feeling like you can't do something based upon the circumstances or the hand that you were dealt.
Reach out to your circle. Reach out to whoever can help you.
And check on your people.
Yeah, you know, definitely. And I think that's something big that we have to work on.
Yeah.
Because we do feel like internet communication is communicating and it is not.
Or you just feel like it's you can't always assume that people have it together.
Mm-hmm.
They may look like they have it together, yeah, but nah, underneath you, when you start to peel the onion back and feel up under them layers, you start to see, like, damn, man.
A little bruised up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
I'm not saying we got open wounds, but, you know, some Band-Aids for sure.
Patched up.
You know what I mean? But, nah, man, we love y'all, man. Continue to rock out with us. We just want to, hopefully, I don't feel like we was too serious. I feel like there were some serious parts. We got lighthearted at the end, you know what I mean?
It's okay. Like I said, we're working on ourselves, and we're better people, definitely.
Absolutely.
So we do want to thank you guys once again for tuning in, you guys for sharing, you guys for reaching out, and you guys for always keeping us as part of your routine.
Absolutely, man. As always, it is your boy, Wayne.
Yes. And Vanessa Hurst.
We just want to continue to spread love and happiness, man. Get on your journey to therapy if you need to. Everything
be
is therapeutic,
better.
Man. Be better, do better. Hey, man, get out of here with your relationship trauma, man.
Bye.
Peace.
happening.